Reading from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. Now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. Dear friend, thanks for listening. It's Friday, February 6, 2015, and it's going to be really hard to pick up where we left off on the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends, as our topic was the film Betrayed, The Clergy Killer's DNA, When the Church Forsakes Its Own Clergy. I cited a number of sobering statistics about pastors leaving the ministry. You heard a number of testimonies and comments from clergy and those affiliated with the church that highlighted the damage and hurt that is being felt by pastors from members in their congregation, along with sharing a couple other great verses, 1 Timothy 5:17 and Hebrews 13:17. So, if you missed the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends, that program is archived at greatnewsradio.org under our archive programs link. But before I air some more of the Betrayal movie and cite some additional statistics, let me make a few quick announcements. Founders Week concludes tonight, so if you're listening to the morning edition of Mark and Friends, and you can tune in WGNN 102.5, 103.9, or 97.1 FM, the day sessions will go from 9:30 to noon, and then it wraps up tonight from 7 to 9 p.m., the live coverage of Moody's Founders Week from the Moody Memorial Church in Chicago, the theme being Running the Race. I've gotten lots of feedback all week long, and it's been a blessed conference that I've also really enjoyed listening to. Tomorrow, the Singing Men of GNN will be working on a CD. We have a sound tech and a number of people involved, and have secured a church on campus for 8 hours of recording. So be praying up the Singing Men of GNN. This will be our third CD. And actually, I think we're only going to be recording about 6 or 8 selections and then have another taping later on to have our CD out in the fall, I believe. Sneak preview for the Monday and Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. We'll continue our series in the Alpha Course with the topic, How Can We Have Faith? So there'll be Monday and Tuesday featuring the ministry of Nikki Gumbel and the Alpha Course. Let me make a few disclaimers on the front end of this broadcast and cite some statistics and their sources, along with reading an email I received from a local pastor who heard the broadcast on Wednesday. Now, this was sent to me by U.S. Films, allowing me the privilege to air portions of Betrayed, the Clergy Killer's DNA film, over the air, and I appreciate them so very much. And also need to point out, this was an hour and a half film, so I'm only able to share with you a small portion of it as I'm trying to fit it into 2 20-minute broadcasts and also give out other information and updates. But you can find out more or purchase copies of this film at BetrayedTheMovie.com, BetrayedTheMovie.com. The views and opinions expressed on this radio program by the producers, hosts and guests, and call-in listeners are solely the opinion of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of U.S. Films, Superior Media, or its affiliates. Opinions stated by various contributors to WGNN and WGNJ and its programming are not to be considered as endorsed by U.S. Films, the sole producer of Betrayed, the Clergy Killer's DNA. Broadcast rights are extended to WGNN and WGNJ for the educational and entertainment value of its audience by U.S. Films. Betrayed, the Clergy Killer's DNA may be purchased at the website BetrayedTheMovie.com. I want to also point out, and I mentioned this on Wednesday, but the reason behind airing this, I thought it'd be a great topic for us to be aware of, to think through, to pray about, and I had no specific pastor in mind that might have been rooted out of his church or asked to leave. I had no specific church in the Great News Radio listening coverage area that I was thinking of that some of these things were happening. I just received an email about this film and followed up, and after watching it, felt it was an important topic for us all to be aware of. I was very blessed by this email from a local pastor I know, and he wrote, "Mark, I did not get a chance to listen to your broadcast today until just a few minutes ago. Thank you for archiving so faithfully. The program about clergy killers was an exceptionally well-handled and profound truth that must be told. I appreciate your heart of compassion for those who serve the pastorate. Only in private clergy circles does this subject dare to be shared. The call to ministry does not have a time limit. It is until we depart for heaven, but too many quit or quite literally die trying to serve the church. What a shameful testimony to the wanton desires of modernity as the mainstream of the faith is whittled away. The new non-denominational churches will soon face the same dilemma. This is an inevitable evil in our culture today. I thank God that He has wired me in a particular way to endure and overcome such pressures. I have met these people and have been under attack and know the personal pain of these pressures. I also know that I can only be released from my responsibilities by Christ, and it is He who gives me strength to continue with courage. Having studied this topic in church conflict classes in seminary, I came into ministry too stubborn to be a quitter and not having any fears or anxiety about being fired. Maybe that is age-related, too. All of us ministers have ups and downs, but when we remember who is really in charge, it is not so much trouble to remain faithful to serve and love our churches. Jesus said, "All men will hate you because of me, but not a hair of your head will perish. By standing firm, you will gain life." Luke 21:17-19. I'd like to paraphrase the topic by saying Jesus told His disciples, "The world really hates me, and you know it. Congratulations, the world will hate you all the more because of me." Thanks again for sharing this program. I am sure that many will be awakened to the subject. That was an email in its entirety from a pastor I know. Shortly, you'll hear many references to the clergy killer or the clergy killer phenomenon, which is a psychological term that identifies abusive behavior inflicted on clergy of all denominations and spiritual disciplines. It is unwarranted, excessive, and destructive, and because of the clergy killer phenomenon, some of the kindest and biggest-hearted people in the world are suffering a white martyrdom, dying for the faith without shedding their blood. Let me also throw in a little qualifier. Now, there are times that if a pastor is found in sin, violating church policy, or disrespecting his office in the church, there are proper means and methods and biblical procedures that can be followed privately. So I don't want you to think that all pastors have a free pass to do anything they want. But there are methods and means of proper church discipline to restore and help and assist our pastors, and not having these clergy killers, individuals with a vendetta just to root out the pastor for personal reasons or because they don't agree or like the vision or the direction the pastor has taken the church. So I want to make that distinction. I shared some statistics on Wednesday, so I won't reiterate those. And again, that program is archived at greatnewsradio.org. But 61% of congregations have forced a pastor to leave Christianity Today. 42% of pastors report to have been forced out at least once, Barna Research. 80% of pastors reported they received no support from peers, Hartford Institute for Religious Research. 70% of pastors report a continuing struggle with depression, Hartford Institute for Religious Research. And finally, 50% of pastors indicate that they would leave the ministry if they had another way of making a living, Hartford Institute for Religious Research. Very sad and sobering statistics. I had to lay a lot of groundwork to set up some of the excerpts from Betrayed, the Clergy Killer's DNA, which I'll share with you now, and then I hope to have time to close out with a special encouraging prayer. Here's Betrayed, the Clergy Killer's DNA, When the Church Forsakes Its Own Clergy.
If we ask the name of what's going on in this squabble in this congregation, and the name comes back, clergy killer, then we have a name and we have a set of recommendations we can follow, and we know better how to handle it. It still may be painful, but at least we know the name and we can start to control it.
The term clergy killer is strong, but is not broad enough. The clergy killer brings about the division of the house between those who are for the clergy and those who are against the clergy. The clergy killer affects whether the church is simply a sociological context for playing out one's power struggle or whether it is a spiritual institution at all. Like, the clergy killer kills the congregation, kills the spirit, and kills in some way the community's respect for that which was once supposed to be its brightest light in regards to redeeming the society. So, clergy killers is not too strong a term. It is too limited.
When we go to a doctor and he says, Monsignor, you know, what can I do for you? What's the problem? I'm not going to sit there and say, I don't know. I hurt. Well, where do you hurt? I don't know. It makes no sense.
That's right.
You go to the doctor and you say, Doctor, I hurt in my right shoulder. Doctor, I wake up with a migraine over my right eye, and by noon, the whole top of my head is aching where I feel like I'm going to pass out. When you identify the problem for the physician, then he applies therapy or medication. That's the way to fix the problem. That's the way they heal. And I think that's where we need to call out clergy killers and say, this is the problem.
Thank you, Jim.
And this is what we're going to do.
That's right.
The churches that have moved through with clergy killers have named it in the places that matter and have stood against it when they see it because they recognize the markers of seduction. They recognize the inductive markers. And they have a pastor that is willing to work with them.
If folks like us who know how what human beings are capable of doing cannot stand up to what's going on with clergy killers, toxic congregations, then who is going to be able to do that? If those of us that are battle scarred and have our calluses don't know how to deal with this, what is going to happen to the young person who answers the call from God early in life, goes right on to seminary, hits their first congregation when they're 25, 27 years old? It's no wonder that we don't last.
As pastors, we have to be willing to confront the clergy killers. We have to confront them. If we don't confront them, if we're not willing to take a stand against them, then they are able to accomplish even more of what they're trying to accomplish.
Actually, naming the clergy killer can be a fearful thing. I think you mentioned, Randy, about not wanting to judge the person. We are trained not to judge the person. And judge not that ye be not judged. But you still need to call evil evil. You are acting evilly, sir, may be a better way to say it than to say you are evil. What you are doing is evil, and it will not be tolerated. I think if that is what naming the person means, often it does need to be done. It needs to be done because of this inordinate power, not some general sermon on evil. That may help. But you need to name the evil, and that can mean naming the person that's carrying that evil campaign.
Until clergy begin to name the evil, talk about clergy killers when it occurs, do the work beforehand in preparing a church for conflict and conflict management, then we're doomed to suffer the consequences of good ministers leaving the ministry, of evil winning over good in a temporary way, and it's a horrible type of leadership. Leadership in the church today requires a new type of commitment to being willing to confront evil, including clergy killers.
Why in the world was I not told this years ago so that I could have dealt with it? As a matter of fact, after I went through that retreat, I went back to the congregation where a clergy killer was trying to get me out, and I took control of the situation. I went before the congregation on a Sunday morning and told them some of the things that were going on. And I said, we really need to pray about this situation. And a lot of things changed. A lot of people said, we had no idea that this was going on.
If you want to imitate the master who identified evil, who exercised demons out of people, that's what we need to do today as a church.
I can say that. In imitation of Jesus Christ, we've got to do it today. We've got to identify where the evil is, and we have to exercise. We have to get rid of it. In the same way that he drove out people out of the temple because they changed his father's house into a den of thieves. We've got to drive them out. We've got to confront it.
Elijah, Joshua, Moses, Jesus, Paul, Peter, among a whole host of spiritual giants within the faith, were risk takers. They were truth tellers. They were honorable men, and among those ranks, women of God that took huge risks, told the truth, threw a light on evil, challenged the status quo, and advanced the purposes of God as a result. And we're losing that today, if we haven't lost it completely already.
I think with cultural contextual shifts in many parts of the culture in America and in Europe, the church's relevance is much, much less. People just don't pay attention. They don't care. They don't show up. And it's not that they don't ever think about having spiritual needs. It's just that's not the place they go. And so what happens is that the people that are within it are still attached to demanding of the church that it feed them, that it bring them the sense of satisfaction that they need, that it has this peace in it. And I think that we're seeing the church then keep taking care of itself and becoming more and more irrelevant to the culture outside. And the more energy that has to spend on taking care of itself, the less energy it has, and it dies. And I think we've seen the death of the church, and it's now feeding on itself with clergy kill.
We're watching a horrible dropout rate in the ministry today. Most people don't live a full career in the ministry, and that's serious.
I'm going to jump in here. As mentioned, this film, Betrayed, the Clergy Killer's DNA, When the Church Forsakes Its Own Clergy, is about an hour and a half long, and I've just given you a sampling along with Wednesday's edition of Mark and Friends, which is archived at greatnewsradio.org if you want to hear a little more. But you can purchase copies of this film or find out more information at betrayedthemovie.com, betrayedthemovie.com. Dear listeners, we need to find special and unique, comforting and compassionate ways to love on and encourage our pastors. They're being bullied. Often these clergy killers can commit even illegal acts against the pastors of the congregation to root them out and abuse them. Let's be praying up our pastors. I'll close out with a portion of a prayer by the Reverend James A. Forbes of Riverside Church in New York. And when I talked with those affiliated with this film, they said this pastor sat down in the pew and prayed this totally unscripted, and it was recorded on a first take. May many of our prayers resonate with these same words.
O Lord, this is your holy sanctuary, a place dedicated to you, that your love might go forth to your people, calling them to be all that they were ever meant to be. From this place, O Lord, we preachers proclaim your faithfulness. We sing from the hymn book, How Firm a Foundation, and it says that you would be with us and that you would sustain us. We read from the Bible, that when you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers they shall not overwhelm you. And yet, we who proclaim such faithfulness are ourselves the objects from time to time of those who would seek to destroy us and also your congregation. There are clergy killers loose in the land, and we who proclaim your faithfulness are often the objects of that kind of assault. So today, I pray for myself, for I too have known what it is like to be the object of the arrows and the words that are spoken to hurt and to harm. But I pray not only for myself, but for all clergy all across the land, who from time to time begin to wonder, the hymns we sing about and the scriptures we preach, do we reflect even in our own lives that confidence that you will be with us? I pray today, O Lord, for all ministers who stood and proclaimed your word, but who found themselves overwhelmed by the adversaries, even sitting in your churches. I pray, be with us in the struggle. Stand by us. Secure us in the midst of our efforts to proclaim your word and to call your people to justice. Let your congregations be places of peace and comfort. And even when trouble comes, be with us in the midst of the troubles so that we will be able to stand and to demonstrate by our own victory that you will not abandon those whom you call to this great vocation. We ask your blessings not only on our clergy, objects at times of clergy killers, but those members of congregations. Grant unto them your care and your wisdom so that they may know how, in the spirit of the Christ, that they will be able to know how to be supportive of those whom you have sent to be, as it were, angels to the congregations. I pray not only for the members who sit in the pews, but those who have been driven out of the churches in the light of the internecine warfare that often goes on, even in your holy sanctuary. And I also pray, O Lord, for those who are looking on and who are wondering, is the church any different from the world? Is it indeed a haven of rest from all of the weariness found in this dog-eat-dog world? And Lord, as I pray, I remember that you have said, pray even for those who despitefully use you. We do not always understand why people do what they do, why meanness sometimes triumphs over the kindness that we would normally expect. So I pray, good Lord, even for those who have found themselves to be either clergy killers or those who have been supportive of the same. Get into their hearts and their minds and their spirits. Forgive them for their dastardly deeds. Bring them to sense your presence and your loving care. Heal whatever it is inside of them that has pushed them to be adversaries to those whom you send as champions of love and peace and justice. Lord, these are your sanctuaries across the land. And the actions that happen here will determine largely whether people will flock here in the time of trouble with confidence that here they will find succor and that they will find a kindness that brings for them hope for the future. I pray that these congregations, so desperately needed in these times of war, these times of conflict between nations and communities and races and all sorts of classes, may your holy sanctuaries across the land be places where people can come and find respect, care, love, encouragement. I pray a prayer also of thanksgiving, for there have been times when I have needed your support, in the time when I was almost overwhelmed to the point of abandoning my vows. but you always came through. You brought me comfort and care, and even in the midst of the storm, I could see your presence, and it was enough. And I'm still alive, and I'm still eager to proclaim the Lord who will stand by you even to the end. I pray this prayer in hope and in confidence that we will see a brighter day and that there will be closer ties between the leadership and the clergy and the members of the congregations and the denominations. In these times, may the Spirit be so renewed that we will see a new quality of respect and
care. Well, I got to jump in here. I don't like to interrupt someone praying, but we're out of time, and I hope something that was maybe shared today or on the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends will have you not only praying and being supportive of your pastor, but being mindful that there is an element of evil sometimes that surfaces in the church that is a destructive force trying to root out the God-appointed pastor that has really not done anything wrong. So we want to love on our pastor, have a supportive role in their life and ministry, assist them and their families, and practice that unity that God desires for all of us. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.